This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
9:05 the time. It's Good Morning NoCo presented by Air Solutions. I'm Tanner Schwint. Brian Carey, as always, here in the Aloe Fiber Studios.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are.
Anchoring my spot. I keep this side of the room rocking.
And joining us up on the hotline, back-to-back-to-back state champion head coach Todd Hernandez of the Eaton Reds. And it's going to be a minute before I can say, here's the lineup as written by Todd Hernandez. Todd, how are you, my friend? Has it sunk in that you are back-to-back-to-back state champs?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. You know, it's pretty surreal right now. I stayed up till probably about 1, 2 in the morning last night rewatching games and looking at tweets and all those kind of things like that. But it was a fun ride for sure.
Oh, it was. It was an absolute blast to watch the state tournament, Coach. Obviously, Mother Nature got in the way of it, and there was a lot going on. And, you know, when I was talking with Tate Smith after the game yesterday, he was a little frustrated about some decisions that were being made in terms of effectively and essentially Chassa taking him off the bump because of the pitch rule over 2 days. But you guys found a way. You found a way to lock in, and you jumped on the Bulldogs right there in the bottom of the second when that game resumed on Sunday evening.
Yeah, you know, we talk all the time about controlling the controllables, things that we can handle and things that we can't. And, you know, we understood that the kids were frustrated and the community was frustrated, and we get it. We understand that, and, you know, it's natural. But we had no control over that, and so we just had to take care of business when we did get the opportunity to play and control what we could do.
Well, you certainly did that, and I know Brian Carey, my co-host here, has asked a couple of the other coaches out there from Eaton about the breeding program that goes on there.
Yes.
Where's the 3D printer?
There is an extensive there's a 3D printer or some kind of breeding ranch that is happening somewhere around the Eaton area. Are you willing to disclose the location of this factory yet, Coach?
You know, it's really kind of an underground facility is what you're talking about. It's not technically a ranch. It's about 3-4 stories underground. It's kind of like if you've seen the Hunger Games, you know,
yes,
those movies, you kind of see how that is. It's very similar to that.
That's well, I had a vision that it may be. Congratulations on keeping it hidden this long.
I know a lot of people broke the story, Brian.
Yeah, I truly did. But I wondered on a serious note, Coach. Winning has become synonymous with Eaton. It seems to go hand in hand. And to me, climbing the mountain is one thing, but staying up there is the most difficult thing in the world. And I don't think people realize that until once you've gotten to the top, there is no other place to go that isn't considered a failure than staying up there at the top. How do you handle that pressure year after year and have been able to do this, aside from that great breeding program? What more do you attribute that to, Coach?
I think really it's just the culture that's been ingrained within the community and the schools. And you're exactly right, though. You win a title, and then it's going to be all right. Well, now you need to go get the next one. You have to get the next one. And so there is, you know, a little bit of pressure associated with that. We like to tell the kids that, you know, we see it more as an opportunity. You know, it's an opportunity to continue that tradition. And one of the things that we've tried to impress upon the kids is that, you know, when people say, well, you're the defending state champions, we talk about that. We're not defending anything because those championships can't be taken away from you. They mm-hmm. can't go in and take those. It's all about just trying to get the next one and trying to start each year with a clean slate. And don't try to, try to be somebody that you're not. Don't try to be last year's team. You need to create your own identity and go about things your own way and still respect everything that's been done in the past. And, you know, we try to pay tribute to our alumni and the guys that have played here before and then just kind of create our own path within that season to try to get there. But, you know, if you come out to any of our games, you have the little kids here playing catch, signing. They want autographs of the boys after the games and those kind of things like that. I think that lays the foundation for the coming years because those kids want to be Eaton Reds and and they're going to put in time and put forth the effort to get there.
No, quickly, just one more thing. You made a statement in that response that I thought was just absolutely fantastic, and that is that there's no such thing as defending a title. That title is gotten, that title is won, the next year is a completely different thing. And that's a great thing for fans to keep in mind and everything else, because that is a very difficult thing to grasp, is, look, that's already a title. That's done. We're not defending right. that one. I love that verbiage. I hadn't really heard that before, so I just wanted to point that out. I thought that was great speak, Coach.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate that. And, you know, and the kids, you know, the kids understand that, and I think that it helps to kind of relieve some of the pressure that they may be feeling coming in.
Well, we're talking with Todd Hernandez, the manager for the Eaton Reds baseball team. And, you know, going back in this storied, you know, history and program with Eaton, as you mentioned, I was a Platte Valley kid, and there was just something different when the pinstripes showed up. The mental, you know, the mental games, just seeing those pinstripes showing up, absolutely played a role. And we've seen a lot of dominant teams, Todd, but we've never seen a team like this. I mean, 29-0 is just ridiculous. I know that was a goal that you guys kind of had. Walker Martin talked to me a little bit about that, how that was kind of a goal, maybe personal goal for him. Is there, I mean, did you really believe that you guys could run the table this year?
You know, we going into it with the kids that we had coming back and coming off of the two state titles, you know, as coaches, we looked at it, we said, you know what, this might be you know, a group that can do it. And we've been close. You know, we were 78-3 over the last 3 years, and those three losses were by a total of 4 runs. So
I don't know. I don't know how the hell you live with yourself.
I think that was everybody else in Northern Colorado right there is what Brian just did, Todd. I think that was everybody else hearing Jeez. Those numbers.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that we knew that we were close to really, you know, those other years of going undefeated. And you know, it's hard because it's a grind, and the kids coming in the, you know, when it's February and it's March and we're stuck inside a gym, not being able to get outside, it can be a mental grind, and sometimes you hit the dog days early. So, but we felt that if we could keep focused and we could kind of stay on task, that we could do something special. And like you said, 29-0, and this group, you know, I think we scored over 400 runs and we allowed less than 50. And so this group was like, man, they were locked in from the get go. So that was our goal. And I think we had to find that carrot, you know, for them a little bit early on to say, hey guys, if you do the things that you are capable of, you could be one of, the top teams ever to play at Eaton High School. You know, and I would never say that they were the top team just because that would be disrespectful to all those teams that have come through here. But, you know, I think they could be right up there in the conversation with some of the great teams that have come through here. And I think they bought into that and said, hey, that's kind of a goal of ours. And, you know, getting back to the pinstripes comment that you had mentioned, Coach Hughes, after we beat Colorado Academy 10-9 in that kind of crazy game last Sunday,
right?
You know, down 6-1 and then now down 9-7. And, you know, we came back and walked it off and got the 10-9 win. And Coach Hughes, you know, when we were standing out the line talking to his coaches, he goes, you know, it's the power of the pinstripes. And that's the belief that they, not one kid in that dugout, when we came in the bottom of the seventh, thought that we were going to lose the game. Everybody believed. It was like, all right, you know, we're going to win the game. And we talk about that all the time. And that's something that Coach Stanley imparted upon me when I played for him. And he always said that we're going to find a way to win the game. We're going to win the game. It's just, how is it going to play out? And so now for over the next couple hours, let's figure out how it plays out. But you have to have the belief that you're going to win the game. And that's kind of the belief that they carry with themselves.
Todd, when you took over this program, it was a divided community, to say the least, with that. And I know that from day one, I had your first state tournament call. And I truly, in talking with you and meeting with you, and you would broadcast some softball games with me and things like that, I believed that you were the man for the job. But not everybody in the community did. You've silenced them all. But what are your thoughts now on where you started out here and now, after the just tremendous run you've been on? What are your thoughts when you look back at a time where there were doubts in the community whether you could do the job or not?
Yeah, you know, there were. And, you know, like you said, there's some people that, you know, thought, hey, maybe this isn't the guy for the job and maybe we should go a different direction. And, you know, in all honesty, we shared with that first group of kids that, you know, we made it to a state title game that first year when a lot of people wanted us to lose. They wanted us to, kind of go downhill. I was flat out told by some people that Eaton will never win another state title. Once we took over, and when I'm talking over with my wife, and when we decided to take the job, and I told Lisa, I was like, I don't want to be the guy that's associated with this program going downhill, and so we're going to do everything we can to carry on the legacy and the tradition that was here. And I look back at Micah Dorsey, who played for me that very first year, he was one of the first texts I got after the game that said, congratulations, coach, keep it going, and love you, and those kind of things. And I told him then, and like I did back when it started, it's like, you guys are going to lay the foundation for the future years to get this next generation going, and they did. And so I thanked him again for that, but it was a lot of pressure. I'll be honest with you, you try not to say that you feel pressure, but you do. And when we got to the state tournament that first year, it was a huge relief, and then got to the title game, and then just kind of keep building and building from there. But I can't say enough about what the role that the assistant coaches played in that. They've been there at every turn, and our kids, and buying into everything that we're doing. So it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, it certainly has been. It's been fun to broadcast and be a part of it here on KFKA. But talk to me about the big three, the three seniors that will be graduating that played a huge role: Tate Smith, Ryder True, and Walker Martin. I think you guys maybe could have gone four. You could be back to back to back to back if COVID had not happened their freshman year. But talk to me about the impact those three have had.
It's immeasurable with those three guys. They are, when you say, these kids are going to be missed, I think that's probably the biggest understatement that we could have right there. They're just tremendous kids, tremendous leaders, and they all have their different personalities and the different ways that they lead. Tate, kind of had a rough go with his ankle and his hamstring a little bit here. But he never got down. He was, in the dugout, picking guys up, a great voice, yesterday, kind of, getting off the bus, saying, let's go, let's get this done. And kind of go from there. Ryder, same thing. Nine state titles for him is that doesn't happen just, overnight without work. And so that kid put in so much work and so much effort over his time in high school. And, sometimes quieter, sometimes he gets on people a little bit when they need it, but willing to do whatever we need to do, to help us win. And then Walker, obviously, just a tremendous talent. And I can't even imagine what it's like to be in his shoes with all of the scouts and things that have been on him this year. And he's handled it with such grace and humility. Tremendous talent just when it comes to performing on the field has been awesome. And it was interesting after the game, he looked at me and said, coach, I just played my final game, that was it, I'm done. And a tremendous kind of heartfelt moment with him, and as he looked back on his career here at Eaton, and just a great kid. So those three, I thought about that last night. I've been writing those three in the lineup for the last 3 years, and it's an automatic, these guys are going here and this is what they're going to do. And now it'll be big shoes for the next group to fill, but I think they've left a legacy that those kids are going to aspire to.
Well, and you've still got a lot of great talent coming back, but I had kind of that same interaction with Walker yesterday after the game. I went up there, and he was signing autographs for some kids. He's signing baseballs and signing hats, and I said, Walker, what are your thoughts right now? And he eyes teared up, and he said, that's the last game I'm ever going to play with Ryder and Tate and these guys. And it just kind of hit him. And for a guy who's got endless possibilities in front of him, for to take that moment, have that humility still to understand that this high school last game just happened, he's truly something special.
Yeah, he is. I think so many kids with all of the publicity and the press and media and all the things that have been going on, I think a lot of kids at this age would maybe make it all about themselves and those kind of things. But I think, like you said, in that moment, his thought had nothing to do with him and had to be with his teammates. And the fact that he just got to ride the bus with those guys and hang out with them and practice with them and be a normal teenager, it had nothing to do with, okay, now let's go on to the draft or let's go to Arkansas or any of those kind of things. He was in the moment, and it was a genuine love for his teammates that, you know, I think a lot of those guys in our dugout have. And that's and that was our message to them after the game is, you know, we won the state title and you are baseball players, or we play baseball, but that's not who you are. You just the love for one another that you show. Just, you know, 20 years from now, you're going to be, you know, expressing that. You're going to be in each other's weddings. If something happens and you need help, lean on each other, because that's the bond that they've built.
Todd, congratulations to you. Congratulations to that baseball program over there. Fantastic year, and thanks for letting us tag along and follow you throughout. Todd Hernandez, the manager for the Eaton Reds. Todd, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Congratulations.
There you go. There's Todd Hernandez there. Walker Martin, we're talking about him as a person. His final stat line this year, he batted .633. .633 average. He had 20 home runs, which is just a ridiculous. 75 RBIs, and he played it himself 64 times. His teammates played it him 64 times. So just an incredible. He was the 2023 Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Colorado, and just a better young man, and just really, really cool to as a media member to be out there and seeing all of it. And I've known Walker for a long time. I've known the Martin family for a long time and the Smith family. It was tremendous to see. And got bad news for the rest of Northern Colorado. They got six guys who were averaging over .400 average coming back next year. So Eaton's not going anywhere.
No, they certainly aren't.
No.
And what an amazing career.
Yeah, 78 you know? And 3. And we're going to be watching him in the bigs. I mean, there's zero doubt in my mind.
Didn't he strike out once?
Six times this year. Six times. That's right. That's it. Six times. 922, it's Good Morning NoCo. .926, it's Good Morning NoCo. Wrapping up state baseball, and what a tremendous run. And a tremendous run for the University Bulldogs, too, for them to fight all the way back and get into that championship game. The odds were stacked against them, and they were able to get it done. They survived Delta the first game.
That was a hell of a feat.
Yeah, it was.
That was an unbelievable game.
Colorado Academy 5-4, and then they came and worked all the way back up that consolation side and just ran into Eaton there. Kent Bone, as we were talking about, Walker Martin texting in, he hit that ball Saturday that probably ended up in the lawn of St. Mary's. And he's not kidding. St. Mary's Church is straight across 23rd Avenue from where Butch Butler ballpark
yes,
sits.
Yes.
Walker, there was a breaking ball that kind of hung up. And Walker saw it and ripped that thing in his driving rain. And it went foul by maybe a foot or two. And I don't think he's exaggerating by a whole lot. That ball probably crossed 23rd Avenue. He hit it that far.
I know exactly the corner you speak of.
It's insane,
yeah,
dude.
My neighbor teaches at that school. I'll have to see.
It could still be over there.
The
go grab it. It might be worth something someday with
yeah,
that young man.
Point.
But shout out to University. Shout out to the Eaton Reds. Always a blast. And a shout out to the Severn Silver Knights, who did win the 4A state championship as well, as they win 1-0. So great weekend of high school baseball, and just really, really fun to be out there and to see some of the stuff, even in between the driving rain. 9:27 the time.
And the Rockies lost.
Yeah, well, they won the series.
Okay.
Woohoo! All right. Cody Wilson, Denver Front Range Weather, joins us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Cody Wilson, Denver Front Range Weather Meteorologist, joining us.
Hello.
You're real good at making things weird real fast.
I know. It's. I don't get paid for it because it just comes naturally.
It's a gift.
It really is.
I think that's why you and I
get along so
well. That's so
like
true.
You're finishing each other's sentences.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
It's like we're family.
You know the joke.
I know. I
when you're here, you're family. Yeah.
Definitely knew the joke. How was your vacation? I know you guys probably went over this on Friday, but I was not here.
It was great. It rained a lot in Jamaica.
Good,
in fact,
good.
One of the days.
I hope you had a terrible time.
One of the days we were there.
Hope it ruined your jerk.
Not at all.
Okay.
One of the days we were there, it rained.
Jerk chicken.
Like 5 inches of rain in 90 minutes. And the thunder down there literally.
5 inches of rain in 90 minutes?
Yeah. The thunder down literally, the air cracks.
Really?
With thunder down there. Yeah. It's a. Thunderstorms in the Caribbean are so freaking cool.
I bet they are.
Yeah, so you guys cannot rain on my parade. So.
You can rain everywhere else around here. I do appreciate you responding to my multiple texts of, hey, this is going
to
happen.
Yeah, happy.
This is going
to
happen. Yeah. It was a fantastic weekend of baseball, even though I got... I mean, that rain that came in Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Were you back? Yeah, you were back Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Just ridiculous. It opened up, and it just did not stop. And I'm like, we're still going to keep... I scored the baseball games on my phone. There's a Game Changer app that I use on there. I couldn't touch my screen because it was so wet. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to broadcast it from
here. So in the last 3 weeks, so 24 days, Greeley is approaching 9 inches of rain.
Wow. That's insane.
Rain.
Let's talk about how that that shapes up with what we've seen in the past when we come back on the other side.
Betcha.
First, bottom of the hour news and weather center. The most beautiful day, birds chirping, sun shining. One fly would land and Brian would have a way to ruin that.
Get off my lawn.
You've got me labeled wrong. I'm Mr. Sunshine. I'm the damn happiness warrior.
Walking on sunshine.
Come on,
baby.
Man.
Come on.
I'm always finding a way.
Not during that last break.
Oh, no, that was just venting. A guy's got to do that.
It's
now
necessary.
And then, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's necessary.
In order to do all that good, you got to let off the steam just for a second.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey.
Well,
I want to throw out a plea.
Okay.
All right, now we just went through this with the baseball playoffs.
Right.
With Chassa and everybody who makes the decisions.
Right.
I'm just putting in a little plug here for our buddy Cody Wilson, because if you have major events coming up, if you have things like tournaments, if you have things like the Greeley Stampede, if you have events like that, and you do not have a meteorologist on staff with you,
hire our boy.
Hire Cody, because in all seriousness, so many things can be avoided if you have a meteorologist that you can depend on and rely on who can tell you and help you with your scheduling. So I'm just saying,
thank you.
Cody, I know that's something that you do, and I know, are you doing that with the Stampede again this year?
Yeah, it's going to be my third year this year. I just locked in my contract to do the third year for the Larimer County Fair and Rodeo, and
isn't there a need more and
there,
more for
it's
this,
It's huge.
Cody?
Yeah, it's such an... The untapped market is colossal. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, Colorado Motor Speedway posted on Facebook that they were hiring for some positions. And the last bullet point, literally, and I quote, a competent meteorologist.
Took you right out of the running.
No, yeah, rip. My followers proceeded to blast their comment section, tagging my Facebook page, and 120 comments later, their general manager sends me a message the other day saying, hey, we'd like to work with
you. Was it Brian?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Absolutely.
I visited with him about the track job.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
So Brian reached out to me and said, hey, we'd like to work with you. So that's just word of mouth is a beautiful thing.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad that happened.
Thank you.
It is. It's very good. I want to say thanks to our friends Pro Nano and Blue Peak Roofing, man. We've avoided the hail up here a little bit, but Cody, I know the work that they do is just fantastic.
Oh, man. And Andrew actually sent me a message yesterday saying that the amount of roofs they've sold is into the triple digits now.
That's fabulous.
Their phones are ringing off the hook. So for those of you that are supporting local, I appreciate that more than you will ever understand.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's talk about this weather, because I heard a lot of this crazy spring we're having here, huh? Crazy spring we're having, huh?
this weather.
Oh, give it 5 minutes, it'll change. heard a lot of that over the weekend.
One.
Yeah.
Love that.
I actually,
that's timeless class.
When I say I heard that a lot, it's because I was saying it so much. But then I remind a lot of people, like, guys, it's June 5th. I mean, it's June 4th. We're, in my mind, summer starts in June.
Sure.
And this weather pattern hasn't broke, and it doesn't look like it's going to.
No. In fact, meteorological summer started June 1st. The summer solstice is June 21st. So right at the start of the Greeley Stampede. But no, you're exactly right. This kind of weather pattern we're in is... Yeah, we'd see it in March and April, not June. So it's not going to break anytime soon. In fact, I told Brian on the show on Friday that through the first half of the month, I don't see one 80-degree temperature in Denver. Not one.
That is just so fantastic. I was bragging about this to my dad yesterday, having a nice talk with dad as he's tucked in his basement up in North Dakota, because it is like 90 degrees with humidity that's going through the... And he said it's been that way for as long as we've had the weather we've had, they've had that. My question is, has that warm air mass that they're having up there kept what we're having down into our area?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's also fed into the wildfires that are happening in Canada, because if you think how bad it is in North Dakota, you go further north, it's even worse than that. This is because of what we call a REX blocking pattern.
REX-y.
Yeah, very REX-y indeed. Yeah. Basically, high pressure is anchored firmly over the upper Midwest, and air flows around high pressure the exact opposite direction that it does around low pressure. So low pressure is counterclockwise, high pressure is clockwise. So with air going around high pressure clockwise, that has actually reversed the flow of storms across the Rocky Mountain region. So that's why over the last 48 hours, everything we've seen has been coming directly out of the east.
Totally.
And it hits the mountains. The only place it can go is up, and you get that classic upslope setup. And that's why I said, wow, this is really cool for March and April, not June.
This goes into the conversation you and I have been having about differing long-term outlooks. Some are like, oh my God, it's going to be the hottest summer ever. And some are like, it's going to be the coolest summer ever.
Yeah.
Where are we going to be?
Nobody knows.
That's what I've
Thanks
Nobody
for coming in.
Knows.
Today. Thanks for coming in.
We're
today,
signing
Cody.
Off. Yeah. Thanks, Cody. Guys.
Again, hire him for more events.
Cody Wilson, Denver for Range Weather. Nobody knows. He just draws
nailed it.
Figures on his Facebook page.
Really good BSer.
Circle thingy.
Yeah. Just a really good BSer.
John Madden. Now, here's a guy. give me a little bit more than that.
Okay.
Where do you actually, because I know you don't put a lot of stock in long-term forecasting.
Well, I was reading the Farmer's Almanac.
But where do you, what
get
is,
out.
What does your gut tell you?
My gut tells me we're in for a pretty long summer, and there's a few reasons. One, the one we've talked about the most, we're coming out of La Nina and into a full-blown El Nino this summer, and that has actually activated the southern subtropical jet stream. Number one. Number two, something I don't talk about nearly as often is the decay of what we call the Pacific Decadal Oscillation. Fancy scientific mumbo jumbo, but basically that's adding more fuel to our showers and thunderstorms for the spring and summer. Number three, this one never gets talked about, and it's, do you guys remember the Tongan volcano that erupted last year?
Yeah. No.
So in Tonga in the South Pacific. Great answer. I appreciate that. Short, sweet, to the point. A volcano erupted in Tonga in the South Pacific last year, and it ejected hundreds of millions of tons of volcanic ash into the atmosphere. In the past, with Krakatoa, with what's the big one in Italy?
Vesuvius.
There's been historic documentation that has proved unequivocally that large volcanic eruptions that eject that much ash into the atmosphere actually can significantly alter global weather patterns.
Wow.
And so I've been talking with a lot of colleagues in the field. It's something I never really gave much attention to until, you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks, because, you know, why are we getting this much rain in May and June? This doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And it can't be just because of El Nino. And it's, people are suggesting that a lot of this volcanic ash is actually triggering a cooling trend, and it's kind of screwing up the weather patterns globally. And so is it the single biggest factor? No. I think it's just a combination of several factors. Throw it into a blender and kablamo. Here we have 9 inches of rain in the last 3.5 weeks.
Well, so when you say we're in for a pretty long summer, you mean active? You mean hot? What do you mean?
Active, yes. Hot, I don't know. Mm. And you mentioned it a couple of minutes ago. I don't put a lot of stock into seasonal outlooks, so I'm much less certain on what the temperature forecast is going to look like. But generally, when we have an active weather pattern like this, it doesn't have a chance to get hot. because we bring in the moisture limits solar insulation, all that water in the air, that increased humidity, and then 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you've already got storms bubbling up, so it gets cloudy, and the sun doesn't have a chance to heat up the ground. So naturally, my instinct is to say, I don't think it's going to get very hot. We may have one or two brief, heat spells where we get into the 90s. I don't know if we're going to get hot enough to break records, but if this weather pattern continues and there's nothing I see that says that it won't, it could be a pretty cool summer in contrast to what we've seen the last few years.
Well, love that.
Oh, 100%. We talked about it this morning, the fog. I don't remember a foggy morning like this in June.
Yeah.
It's true.
Like ever. I mean, it was just ridiculous everywhere you turned this morning.
There's so much moisture coming out of the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
As well. I was wondering, too, as we were driving out east yesterday, and the sun broke through.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, all right, sun broke through, and I watched the temperature go 68, 69, 70. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, right about here is the threshold where if it gets to here, that means some more stuff developing.
Yeah.
You had given me a figure a while back when we talked about this of about 71 degrees was for that particular system coming through that things could heat up and go. Is that a good gauge to look at generally? Or does that change as the summer gets hotter and so forth?
So you're talking about convective temperature. So that's the temperature that the ground needs to heat up to in order for air parcels to become buoyant enough to rise freely, and we need that rising air to produce showers and thunderstorms, right? So you're exactly right. That number is going to change with each new storm system that impacts Colorado, because there's so many factors that go into determining what the convective temperature is. Dew point is a big part of that. The lapse rates above the ground have a big impact on that. Cloud cover. So there's a lot of factors that go into that. But that's a great point you bring up, Brian. When we already have showers and thunderstorms going on during the day, and then you break into the sunshine, it's going to take nothing to develop more showers and storms, because we've already hit our convective temperature. It's already raining. The sun's just adding more heat to the system. It's already adding, more fuel to a fire that's already burning. And that's why when we broke into sunshine a little bit yesterday, we had additional showers and thunderstorms that developed, and you had a pretty good downpour before your baseball game.
Oh, yeah. And it was just one of those little light drizzle. And as I literally walking and I saw it hit one part of the stadium before the rest of it, mm-hmm. it just opened up, and I'm walking to it, and I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. was not the F word I used.
No, but you were at Butch Butler Field, and you know where I live. When you were putting out, I'm listening to you, and you said, oh, the rain's starting to come down, and I'm not at my house, and I'm right.
Literally.
I mean, they're right there. I can point to where you are. That's what's so strange when that happens, man.
Well, and the storms seemed like they were moving a little weird over the weekend. We got a lot of the storms coming from the east, which we know that those are big moisture makers. It seems like we've avoided a lot of the severe aspects of thunderstorms that come along with it. The damaging wind, we had some of that last week, but the wind, the lightning, you talk about the hail, twisters, we've avoided a lot of that. Why?
That's a great transition into the long-range pattern that I'll talk about here in a second. But basically, we were lacking a couple of ingredients that you need to produce severe thunderstorms. Like I said, this storm system we had over the weekend is something you would normally see in March and April, right? Not in June. So the reason why is because we were lacking a lot of what we call wind shear. So wind shear is the increase of wind speed with height, okay? Directional wind shear is the change of wind direction with height. We were missing both of those components this past weekend. We just had a lot of moisture, we had enough daytime heating, and we had a pretty steep lapse rates. That's the rate at which temperature cools as you increase in altitude. We had just enough ingredients to produce showers and thunderstorms this weekend. Okay. The wind shear and the directional wind shear component we've been lacking with thunderstorms lately returns this week.
Oh.
So we're shifting the weather pattern. We're not changing the weather pattern. We're shifting it to more of a late spring, early summer kind of weather pattern that we're typically used to seeing. So we're going to warm up the temperatures a little bit back into the 70s. It's not earth-shattering by any stretch of the imagination, but we're shifting the focus of energy back to general western troughiness. So it's strong southwest winds aloft blowing over the mountains. That translates to strong southeasterly flow at the surface. Those two different air masses kind of clash and collide with each other over the Front Range, and you're really going to start seeing that on Wednesday when the threat of strong to severe thunderstorms returns.
We're talking with Cody Wilson, Denver Front Range weather meteorologist. It seems like when we get this type of pattern, it's not as widespread. Is that true? Or because it seems like a lot of those thunderstorms, okay, where are they rolling off the mountains?
Yeah.
Are you in the perfect line of those rolling off the mountains? If not, you're probably going to be fine. Is it going to be widespread, or is it going to be more isolated areas?
Great question. So what we saw over the weekend, anytime we're under easterly flow, all bets are off, right?
Yep.
Anytime we got upslope, all bets are off. So today we're transitioning out of that pattern back into a normal late spring, early summer pattern. So what we're going to see today and tomorrow is going to be more scattered, okay? Most numerous in the mountains, because the mountains kind of cheat a little bit. We have what we call orographic lift or terrain influencing. So you're going to see scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms first in the mountains today. We could see a few spill off the foothills and onto the I-25 corridor, but like I said, they will be very scattered, hit or miss. Not everybody east of the mountains is going to see rain today, and then the farther east you go, the drier you're going to be because those showers are going to have a hard time making it off the mountains, okay? That's today and Tuesday. Wednesday, different story. We add more wind shear, we add more directional wind shear, we add more moisture, and so I think we're going to see scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms during the day on Wednesday, and then we have more ingredients for the threat of strong to severe thunderstorms, and that looks to continue each and every day through at least the weekend and potentially into next week as well.
So weather-wise, we're looking at Monday, Tuesday, basically a shot of tequila possible. Wednesday, it's the full margarita.
Full bottle,
okay,
yeah.
All right.
Bring me another.
All right.
Your brain works in mysterious ways,
sure,
Brian
does.
Gary. I
it's
love
math.
It, though.
Huh? It's math.
Math.
That was not math. That's alcoholism. 9:52 the time. Cody Wilson, Denver Front Range weather meteorologist.
I knew the 11, oh, 12.
No. Yeah, Denver Front.
Did not expect to get called out like that.
I did not either.
Denver Front Range weather meteorologist. Follow him on Facebook. Check out Cody the Weather Guy podcast. It'll be out later today on 1310kfk.com. Cody, get out of here, but don't leave. Go record a podcast.
Hey, great. Thanks. Bye.
All right. We'll come back and wrap
My name
up next.
Is Brian G.
On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFK. .955 the time. How worried are you about the Denver Nuggets?
Not very.
A little bit, though, huh?
Well, yeah. Yeah, a little bit. I was thinking that they might sweep their way through this, that Miami would not figure out how to stop Denver, that Denver was that much better than Miami. But no, there's a reason Miami made it this far, and they showed it. Nuggets did not play great. Miami had the heart to win. They wanted it more. They got it. So, yeah, there is that, but I think the Nuggets overcome that and then turn it on now.
I don't care if I have to see or hear Stan Van Gundy again in the rest of my life. I'm so sick
Stan
of him.
Stan or Jeff?
Jeff. I like Stan. I'm sorry. Jeff
has annoyed the hell out of me, and Mark Jackson does the same.
Both of them are morons.
I can't stand him, which makes... The third guy is great.
Mike Green. Yeah, he's fantastic. Yeah. Jokic went for 41-11-4. And Mike Breen on the end of it goes, and the Nuggets waste a 40-point performance from Nikola Jokic, 11 boards, a huge double-double. And he was continuing on, and that's the one thing they teach in broadcast school, when the play-by-play guy's going, don't cut in. He's going, he's obviously trying to take the conversation somewhere. And Jeff jumps in there and goes, yeah, but only 4 assists.
Yeah.
The guy is just ridiculous.
Shut up, you little dude.
Diane says, totally agree. They played poorly last night. The Heat totally took Jokic out of his game. Malone will remedy this, and we'll take 2 in Miami. Mary said, Miami did their homework, and now the Nuggets need to do theirs. I agree with that. I do think Eric Spoelstra outcoached Michael Malone last night. John said, Nuggets played bad and still almost won the game. They'll be fine if they play defense.
I agree.
Brian said, oh, no, not that one. Glenn said, might have been a big wake-up call. Have to play hard and defense all four quarters. I hope it was.
There should be no sleeping. No wake-up should be needed when you get to this point.
Right.
But I understand what you're saying.
Betty said, no, not at this point. I want to get this last one in here. Mike, next game will tell us all what we need to know. Must have a greater focus and effort because Miami has proven they have the will to win. Even in game one, it got a little uncomfortable in the fourth quarter because Miami will not give up. The talent disparity is ridiculously off the charts, but the will to win and players that play within a well-coached system can beat talent.
Yep.
And that's what we're seeing right now with the Miami Heat. So I'm a little concerned just at the fact that we're having this conversation. The energy and effort wasn't there. Those are two things you can control. I still think we're fine. I still think we're fine. So I can't wait to get back at the Miami radio
station. Just take
called
one.
In again.
Gotta
yeah,
take
you,
one.
You have to. You got to get home court
Miami.
Back.
Yes,
you've got to get home court back. If they go down 3-1, panic buttons are going off.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt about that. And I do not want to hear from the Miami guys again.
No.
Who they heard? They got in again this morning. I love it. Keep it going. And let's get ahead in this series, and then we'll start messing with.
Yeah, 100%. We will absolutely be doing that. No Rockies baseball tonight. No NBA finals. Enjoy a day off from sports for today. I don't think we really missed anything else, did we?
No, but I'm about to cry a little bit.
I know.
The way you
no
put
sports.
It there,
I know.
Like,
I know.
Is there any hope?
Yeah. Yeah, the Rockies are back in action tomorrow.
So no, there's not.
Right. Coming up next is Coach Speak. Daniel Olimon will be filling in for Coach Bruce Dick for Coach Speak today. Eating heavy today, of course, with the state championship as they wrap up. Walker Martin, Tate Smith, Ryder True, all going to be, and Coach Duncan going to be joining the program as well for Coach Speak. And then the whole show, 11 to 2. Brady breaks down the Nuggets' loss last night. See where his thoughts are on
this. Is he still looking out the window crying with the rain coming down? That was the picture we got last
night. Yeah, well, I think we were all kind of doing that at the time.
We were. I said, I've got the same window.
Yeah, we all were, but I think we'll be all right. We'll be back at it on a Tuesday. It's going to be a fun show tomorrow. Lots to get to, and we'll just keep rolling.
Oh, absolutely. No, great stuff ahead. Going to be a wonderful week, and just scattered showers the next couple days. As Cody says, Wednesday, look out.
Yeah, absolutely. For Angel Padilla, for Brian Gary, I am Tanner Schwint. We love you, Northern Colorado, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.